Good morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Erev and Daf Lametes. We are in the middle of a discussion in the Gemara. How to view Shabbos and Yantif. Shabbos and Yantif are contiguous to one another, which means the Yantif falls out on either on Friday or on Sunday. So now you are looking at what we would call in America a two-day Yantif, although in America we have something also called a three-day Yantif. And in fact, please get prepared because we're going to have plenty of that coming up in the upcoming Yamim Narayim season. And Eretz Yisrael, they also have a three-day Yantif coming up. So we and Eretz Yisrael are on the same page, at least for Rosh Hashanah, that is. Of course, for the rest of Yantivs, they know which day is which. In the meantime, however, if Yantiv and Shabbos are back-to-back, so how do we view it? So there are basically two fundamental ways in terms of how to view it. One way to view it, Shei Kedushos, meaning it's Shabbos and it's the Yantiv, or it's Yantiv and then it's Shabbos. And they are two distinct and separate days. Now, obviously, there's no break between them, but nevertheless, though, we just view them as two separate and distinct days. That's one way to view it. The other way to view it is that it's Kedusha Achas. It's actually one long continuum. It is a singular day of Kedusha that extends 48 hours. Now, Lamay Nafkamina, what practical difference does it make? As I just mentioned, there's no break in between the two of them. So what difference does it make whether we view it as Shtei Kedushos or Kedusha Achas? So the big difference is going to be by Erev Tchum. Can I set up a new Erev Tchum for the second day? So here I am on Friday. I want to make one Erev Tchum. I want to relocate my point of center for Friday. Let's say Friday's Yantif. So for Yantif, I want to relocate my point of center. And then come Shabbos, I'd like to relocate again. I'd like to move it to a different location. So can I do that? So now you see, here we are on the cusp of a basic machlokas. If I view it as Shtei Kedusha, so then yes, the answer is I can relocate. Because Yantif is one day, Shabbos is a totally different day. And what's going to happen is that the Erev I set up for Shabbos is just going to simply transfer my Makom Shvisa to a new location. If, however, I'm viewing it as Kedusha Achas, it's one long, continuous, 48-hour period, so then obviously the answer is no. Much like I can't divide Shabbos into two parts and make an Erev on one part of Shabbos for here and make an Erev for the second half of Shabbos over here, so too when it's Yantif and Shabbos, if I'm viewing it as Kedusha Achas, so then I can't. It's going to be the same story. I cannot shift my makom shvisa. Good. Where do we stand on this issue? It's a machlokas in the Mishnah, a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Rabbi Elazar says it's Shtei Kedushos. What about the Chachamim? Well, they don't exactly say it's Kedusha Achas. In fact, as we learned in yesterday's daf, they're mesupak. They don't know whether it's Kedusha Achas or Shtei Kedushos, and so therefore they lay somewhere between the two positions. Actually, they entertain both positions, meaning on the chance that it's Kedusha Achas, I can't move my Makom Shvisa. On the chance that it's Shtei Kedushos, according to the Chacham, and what do I have to do? I got to renew. I have to renew my Erev to that place that I was Ma'ariv on Yantiv, so that it would work for day one and for day two, because there's a concern that the second day is actually a separate Kedusha than the first day. Good. That's a quick recap of what we saw yesterday. There's another issue which we're going to really start today's daf with, which is the issue of Hachana. But really, we're going to start with that. Before we start with the issue of Hachana, who do we paskin like? So that the Gemara told us yesterday who we paskin like. Oddly enough, interestingly enough, we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, who usually is a das yachid, a shitas yachid, and a shita that we don't normally regard in halacha. In fact, the Gemara a number of times says that Rabbi Eliezer is a shemuti. He's which could mean that either he's a student from Shammai, or it means that he was excommunicated for various reasons. See the Gemara in Bab Metzia for that discussion. So it could very well be that he's a. So it is not normal that we follow the halacha like Rabbi Eliezer, but here we do. And who told us that? Rav. Rav at the end of yesterday's daf, which is Lamed Ches Amid Beis, told us that the halacha follows like Rabbi Eliezer, and a number of other Tanaim also agree with Rabbi Eliezer. Not Rabbi, meaning not necessarily Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, but it's Rabbi Eliezer, it's Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, it's Rav Yochanan, Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So we have a lot of, it's Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, it's Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. We have a lot of Tanaim who follow this position as well, that Shtei Kedushos, and Rav says that's in fact the halacha. Okay, and with all that stated, let's go on. We are in the Gemara, right after the words Gemar Gamirlay. Right? So Gemar Gamirlay. Yeah. Kinachna Shedarav. Okay, and now we are in the Gemara. We're a little bit less than halfway down the Amud on Lamed Ches Amud Beis. And Rav dies. And, I'm sorry. Kinach Nafshe de Rav Huna. Rav Huna dies. Ayo Rav Chista Lemir Me de Rav de Rav. And now Rav Chista says, okay, now I'm going to ask yours between Rav and Rav. Now, why after Rav Huna dies? Okay, I don't know. But what do we lose, however, with Rav Huna? We lost a student of Rav, meaning Rav Huna was one of the foremost Talmidim of Rav. And I guess the Gemara's point is, although I'm speculating, that if Rav Huna were alive, so then he would be able to be Miyashef. But because Rav Huna is no longer alive, so these things become now difficult to understand. Is it really true that Rav goes like Rabbi Eliezer? That Shabbos and Yom Tov back to back is Shtei Kedushos. I also know that Rav says the following. Let's say I have Yom Tov Shabbos back to back, and let's say I have my chickens in the backyard, and my chickens lay an egg on Yom Tov. Now, on Yom Tov itself, can I eat the egg?
No.
Forbidden. Why? Because there's an Isser called Nolad. Now here, the Isser, we mean it quite literally. The egg was laid on Yom Tov. And so therefore the egg is going to be prohibited. How about this? How about, fine, I can't eat the egg on Yom Tov. How about Shabbos? Can I eat the egg on Shabbos? So Rav says, no, you cannot. No bezer, asura bezer. That if the egg is laid on Yom Tov, I cannot eat it on Shabbos. Now, at this point, what the Gemara thinks is, I don't know how to align the Shita of Rav and the Shita of Rav. Because if Rav said that the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer, and that Yom Tov and Shabbos back-to-back is really Shtei Kedusha saying, that means they are two separate days. It's not one long day. So if it was Kedusha Achas, I could certainly understand how when the egg is laid on Yom Tov, you can't eat it on Shabbos. Why? Because Yom Tov and Shabbos are all part of that same day. But if it's Shtei Kedusha, so why not? Why can't I eat the egg that was laid on Yom Tov and eat it on Shabbos? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara doesn't right now see why that should be a problem. But I think we all know where the Gemara is going to go with this discussion. Amar Rabba, Hasam Isha Machana. No, both statements of Rav are correct. Well, not correct, but both statements of Rav were said by Rav, espoused by Rav. But the issue over here is a very different issue. It's Shtei Kedushos. Yom Tov and Shabbos are two separate Kedushos, even though they're back to back. The reason why I can't eat the egg on Shabbos is because of this Isser called Hachana. I'm not allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Now, I know that when the chicken laid the egg, I didn't do much in terms of preparation. In other words, all I did was house the chicken in my house. But nevertheless, though, the idea is that this egg came into the world on Yom Tov, and now, had it not come into the world on Yom Tov, I wouldn't be having it on Shabbos. So in other words, I prepared on Yom Tov for Shabbos. And this is an Isser called Hachana D'Tanya, and the Gemara quotes a Pasuk that supports this Isser. V'ayam yom ha-shishi v'achinu. And what the Torah says, when gathering the man, what do? You prepare on Friday. Meaning, not on Shabbos. Now, over there, it's a logistic issue. No man is coming on Shabbos. But the Gemara's understanding is that this is not just simply a historical event, but rather this is tzivui. This is instruction. You are supposed to prepare on Friday for Shabbos. So, a weekday you prepare for Shabbos. A weekday you prepare for Yontov. But not the other way around. You can't prepare from Yontov to Shabbos, and you can't prepare from Shabbos to Yontov. So there's an Isser called Hachana. Now, is the Isser of Achanan Isser Darais or Isser Darabanan? So if you remember yesterday's daf, I quoted Tosfos. I'm going to quote Tosfos now again. Tosfos on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph says it's an Isser Darais. It's a biblical prohibition. Isser Achanan Darais, he says Tosfos. Now, not all Rishonim agree with Tosfos, but nevertheless, though, I mean, look, Pashtus of the Gemara, we're quoting a Pasuk. It's a Pasuk. In Chumash it says you're not to be Mechin. Either way, whether it's an Isser D'Oraisa or an Isser D'Rabbanan, comes out the same. Meaning, the reason why I can't eat the egg that was laid on Yom Tov on Shabbos is because Hachana, the Isser of Hachana. So, Amalei Abai Adin Kaitan Oasim Alei Chabrishon Ma'achshech Ala V'not Lo V'alo B'sheni Ma'achshev Ala V'och Lo V'alo. So the Gemara says, okay, so you've introduced this idea into our whole discussion now of Hachana. Fine. And we're going to say that the 2 days of Shabbos and Yantav are considered Shtei Kedusha Sein. Also fine. And good. So here's my simple question, says the Gemara. So how do you do... Our Mishnah says that you can make an Erev Tchum from Yantav to Shabbos. Meaning that when Yantav and Shabbos are back-to-back, I'll make one Erev Tchum for Yantav, and I'll make a second Erev Tchum for Shabbos. How are you doing that? The only way you're doing that is that on Yantav itself, at the end of Yantav, you're putting out bread for Shabbos. Aren't you violating the Isra of Achana? So the Gemara says, yeah, but we're going to go back to a discussion we had just a couple days ago, and you're making a mistake. You think that, as we've discussed now time and again, the time that the Erev is Koner, your Makom Shvisa, is during the Beinos Rashos period. You think it's at the end of Yontif, or the end of the day, that the Erev acquires your new Makom Shvisa. That's incorrect. It's really the beginning of the next day. Remember, we talked about the Beinos Rashos period is that period where Safek Yom, Safek Laila, we don't know if it's day or night. It's the twilight period that separates 2 days. It is during that time that your Erev is Koner for you. But then we further asked when we learned this, when exactly during the Beinos Rashos period? The beginning of the Beinos Rashos period or the end of the Beinos Rashos period? Now, just so that we're comfortable with the terminology, if it were the beginning of the Beinos Rashos period, that's called Sof Hayom. Why Sof Hayom? Because it's the end of the previous day. Or it's the end of the Beinos Rashos period, which is called Tchilas Hayom. Tchilas Hayom means the beginning of the next day. So the Gemara's answer is, you see, here's your mistake. You think that the Erev Tchum works Sof Hayom, the end of the first day. If that were true, so then you're right. Then you're making an excellent point. Then we're coming on to an issue of Hachana, because you're preparing from one day to the next. But you're wrong, though. The time that the Erev is Koner for you is Tchilas Hayom, the beginning of the next day, or the end of the Beinos Rashos period. So there's no violation of Hachana. I'm not preparing from one day to the next. Yes, it's true, I'm moving the bread. That's true. But in terms of when the bread is being activated, when it's serving as my Erev Tchum for the next day, is only the beginning of the next day, so there is no violation of Hachana. The violation of Hachana is only when I'm preparing from one day to the next. Here, the Erev is actually being effectuated on the beginning of the next day.
Can you do that?
Huh?
Can you make an Erev on Shabbos for Shabbos? I mean, on the same day?
Well, no, you have to lay it down. Yeah, you're correct. You have to lay it down before, but it effectuates only Tchilas Hayom.
And that's not
a violation of Hachana. Right, that's correct. That's what the Gemara is saying. I could certainly, you want to argue the point, I could certainly hear it, but that is what the Gemara is saying. So the Gemara says, well, if we're right, let's go back to the discussion we had just a couple days ago. Remember, we had the story of I had Tevel going into Shabbos, and my declaration is that I want Trumos and Maisos to be separated right during the Beinos Rashos period. And we said there that that's no good. Well, why not? If we are now establishing that the time that the Erev Tchum is being activated is at the end of the Beinos Rashos period, so then as long as the Tevel has been corrected before that point in time, shouldn't it work? And we said just a couple days ago in the Daf, it doesn't work. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there, be'inan suda haru ba'od yom aleka. Good question, but we're going to go back to the same answer that we said a couple days ago. When you lay the food down, and the food is going to be your Erev Tchum, that has to be edible food. In other words, even if you're right, if I go over the timeline, first Trumas and Maisel will be separated, then the Erev will be activated. That's all well and good. But there's a halacha that has to be su'uda haru'uya. It has to be an edible food, edible meaning halachically edible. And when I laid it down, it was tevel, and tevel is also to everybody. And so that's why it doesn't work. Elahadinan Revelaz Arma Yamtov Samlach Shamas Bemel Fana Bemel Acharem Arav Adam Shnei Ruvim Habeinat Suuda Haruuyim Iba Od Yom Valeika. The Gemara now attacks us another way. Really, Suuda Haruuyim. You need a meal that's fit. Well, how are you moving your Erev Tchum? This is a question really the Gemara could have asked a long time ago, but okay, I mean a long time ago, meaning at the beginning of the Sugya, but the Gemara asks it now. I don't understand. We are going now, let's say it's Yontav followed by Shabbos. We are going to make an Erev Tchum for Yontav in one spot, and we're going to make a separate Tchum for Shabbos in a different spot. Now, right now, the Gemara's thought process is like this. No, I don't have a marker, it's fine. I'll do it without the marker. The Gemara's thought process is that for Yontav, we're going to make it 2,000 amas east of where I am, and for Shabbos, we're going to make it 2,000 amas west of where I am. Now, you see, that's impossible. Right, because that would mean then that making the shift from Yontav to Shabbos, I'd be traveling 4,000 amas. You can't do that. In other words, on Shabbos or on Yontav, you can only walk 2,000 amas. So in the Gemara says, you're demanding a Seuda Haru'uya. You won't. From where your point of center is on Yontav, you can't reach it. You can't reach there on Shabbos. So how is that going to work? So the Gemara says, that's a very good question. Me suffers the manach le besof apay mama lakan besof apay mama lakan lo the manach le besof elafam lakan besof elafam lakan. You're absolutely right. The question is such a good question. We're adjusting the numbers. We have to adjust the numbers. Meaning that on Yontav I only went 1,000 amas to the east, and then for Shabbos I went 1,000 amas to the west. Now that's within reach. That's within halachic reach. Now on Shabbos itself, I would be able, as Shabbos enters, I would be able to walk over from my eastern Eruv, which is only 1,000 amas to the east, and head towards my western Eruv, which is only 1,000 amas to the west. That's only a travel of 2,000 amas, that you can do. And that's the kind of shift you can make from Yom Tov to Shabbos. But you're right. I can't go 2,000 amas east to 2,000 amas west, because then I wouldn't be able to reach my Eruv from Yontav to Shabbos. Very good point. Elahadam Rav Yehuda, Irav Beraglav Yom Rishon, Ma'ariv Beraglav Yom Sheni, Irav Bepas B'Yom Rishon, Ma'ariv Bepas B'Yom Sheni, HaKamechem Miyom Tov L'Shabbos. Now here it gets interesting. Okay, but let's do a little bit of background before we do this. Now, we've discussed already, Erev Tchum, the two ways to set up your Erev Tchum. Food or you? Food, you lay food down where you want your point of center to be. Okay, and it just sits there. And that's it. Do you need any type of verbal declaration? No. Meaning, you put the food down. The food is the preparation. That signifies that's my new makom shvisa. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is you. Meaning, with your legs, you walk to the place that you want your makom shvisa to be. You sit there during the Bein HaShemashes period. That now becomes your new makom shvisa. That establishes your new point of center. Good. It's the same? Almost. Almost the same. You see, when I'm arev with food, so then I don't have to do anything else other than just simply lay the food down. If I'm arev beraglav, so then I need to say something. It's not enough for me just to sit there or stand there. I have to make some sort of verbal declaration and say, this is my new makom shvisa. And now what's bothering the Gemara over here? So the way Rashi understands the Gemara, it goes like this. If I'm laying food down, so we're good. Because as we discussed, when is the Erev going to be kona for you? During the Bein HaShemashes period, and more specifically, the end of the Bein HaShemashes period, otherwise known as Tchilas Hayom. So it's not Yontav being prepared for Shabbos, it's Shabbos being prepared for Shabbos. Good. But if I'm an Arev Beraglav, so there it's not enough for just me to simply say... It's not enough for me to just simply be there. I have to make a declaration. Now, here's the kicker. When do I make the declaration? So if I were all-knowing, I would make it exactly at the point of the Sof Bein HaShemashos period. Here's the problem. We're human beings. We have no idea, or not no idea, but there's no way that we can accurately pinpoint when exactly the Sof Bein HaShemashos period is. So, what are we going to have to do? Just by simple fact that we're human beings, we're going to have to say it ahead of time. If we're saying it ahead of time, that means that we're making a declaration on Yontav for Shabbos. as opposed to the case of the bread, where the bread doesn't have to talk, so the bread's they're just sitting there. So then the bread's got nothing to say, and knows exactly when the end of the Beinu Shemashu's period is. You and I, however, who have to make a verbal declaration, because we're human, because we don't know when that point exactly is, we're going to have to make it earlier, in anticipation, and that means that we're being meichid from Yom Tov to Shabbos. That says Rashi is what the Gemara is asking right now.
Yeah? Make it tonight.
You could make it tonight, but whatever you're saying it on Yom Tov in anticipation of Shabbos. That's called Hachana from Yom Tov to Shabbos. You can't do that.
Is Hachana is a physical thing or a verbal thing?
Well, in this case, I'm extending my Erev. So
I know, but you're not doing any kind of act that's really
right.
Declarative.
Right. In other words, right. I was thinking something along the lines of what you were saying. On Shabbos, you know, you're allowed to think about mundane activities. Hirhuri mutarim. But this is more than just hirhur. This is actual verbal declaration. And there's a kinyan as well.
Can you do it on Shabbat?
The answer seems to be yes. Again, based on what the Gemara said previously, that it's not you're not really doing it on Yom Tov, you're doing it on Shabbos. Yes, the answer is yes. So Ma'arav Begumisha Eir Bepas Miyam Rishon Ma'arav Bepas Miyam Sheni Hakam Mechim Yom Tov Shabbos Amar Lei Misvars Da Azov Amar Midi Da Azov Shasek. So the Gemara's answer is that you went into the question thinking that you have to talk. You don't got to talk. You can remain silent. So the Gemara says, Shasik V'yasef. Keman K'rav Yochan Ben Nori. The Gemara says, wait a second, really? You don't have to say anything? So basically, what you're telling me is that in order to get to this point in Halacha, we have to be following like a Das Yachid, like Rav Yochan Ben Nori. Now, the Shita Rav Yochan Ben Nori, which we're going to see later on in the Masechta, basically goes as follows. Very interesting halachas, which we'll be talking about shortly enough, and that's the following. Look, I'm bound by Tchum, right? Well, that we all know. I mean, not only am I bound by Tchum, but everyone's bound by Tchum. Right? And their Tchum is based on what the point of center is. What about your possessions? The things you own, what's the halacha? They're also bound by Tchum. In other words, following whose Tchum? Its owner. So any object or item that I own, animal or object, is also bound by the same tchum as me, as its owner. Good. What about hefker? What about ownerless items? Are they bound by any tchum? Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri says, yes, they are. What's their tchum? Wherever they start off Shabbos or Yontif. Objects, right, heftzei hefker. Items that are hefker, according to Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri, acquire their makom shvisa, simply the place where they started off on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Which means that if I find an item on Shabbos and Yom Tov that doesn't belong to anybody, right, and it's not mukso, right, can I pick it up and take it home? Maybe not. Because I have a particular tchum, the item's tchum may not be the same as my tchum, and there's a chance I may not be able to take it home, according to Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri, who takes this very unusual position, which is that objects also acquire a makom shvisa, ownerless objects.
Why are you carrying a Shabbat?
So Yontif. So let's say Yontif. That'll make this a little bit easier. But you're right. You're not going to be carrying a Shabbos. The Gemara now is thinking, so you're telling me that all you need to do is go sit there like a bump on a log. Right, in this case, I mean it literally. You're like a bump on a log. So if you're sitting there like a bump on a log, and you tell me that you don't have to say anything, so basically, you know what you are? You're like that ownerless object of Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri. So you mean to tell me that in order to arrive at this halacha, we have to follow Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri, which the way the Gemara is phrasing the question, it sounds like, come on, he's a das yachid. So the Damer Chavse Hefka Konin Shvisa Afilu Temer Rabbanan Ad Kan Lo Pligi Rabbanan Lo Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri Ela Bi Yashin De Lo Matzi Amar Rav Abenayer Di Bay Lameimer Matzi Amar. Now, by the way, I missed an important point, which we'll go over now. Now, as Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri say that regarding ownerless items, he also says that regarding somebody who fell asleep during the Beinu Shemashu's period. Meaning, right? Great case, right? Before Shabbos, you were really tired. You lie down. You went to sleep. Okay, and if you were in a city, so then obviously your makom shvisa would be the city. But let's say you lie down outside in the field, okay, and you woke up after it got night. Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri says, you know what just happened to you? say hello to your new Makam Shvisa. The place where you woke up now is your point of center. That's your Makam Shvisa. Why? Because, again, Rav Yochanan Nuri says, you know what you were? You were literally a bump on a log. So just like the ownerless items acquired their place, so too the sleeping person also acquires his place. Again, all the opinion of Rav Yochanan Nuri. So the Gemara, basically is going to say like this. Look, that's all over the sheet of Rav Yochanan Nuri. Ki pligi lo pligi rabbanu la Rav Yochanan Nuri ala biyashin. The lo matzi amar ava b'nei or di bai lemeimer matzi amar ava gav dolo amar keman damar damei. So the Gemara says, look, the Chachamim are going to argue on Rav Yochanan Nuri, but I'll tell you this. If the guy's awake and he's conscious, so then there's not going to be any disagreement between Rav Yochanan Nuri and the Chachamim. Rav Yochanan Nuri is going to tell you that the sleeping guy acquires a spot. And the Chachamim are going to disagree. But when the person's awake and he could have made a declaration, he doesn't actually need to make a declaration. It's Kemanda Amar. It's as if he said it, as long as there's potential enough where he could say it, i.e. he's awake and conscious. Okay. So now the Gemara has resolved our issue. Our issue was, when you're making an Erev with your feet, don't you require a verbal declaration? And won't that be a violation of Achana? Answer very simply, you don't have to talk. You could just stand there. So just like your bread is going to acquire for you your Makam Shvisa, you are going to acquire your Makam Shvisa, and there is no need for a verbal declaration. So, Kamanda Amar Dami. Amalei Rabba Bar Bechanan Abaye. We are on Lamed Ches Amed Beis. We're on the bottom, three lines from the bottom. I have a Shmi Alei Lamar Had Detanya Lo Yehalach Adam Lasof Sadei Alei Dama Yitzricha Kayotze Bo Lo Yitayel Adam HaPesach Medina Kadesh Yikanis Lamerchatz Miyad Hadar Bey. So, Rabba Bar Bechanan says to Abaye, look, these halachas that were reported, if he would have heard the following statement, which is that, you know, as Shabbos ends, right, unfortunately, we get a little bit antsy at the end of Shabbos. Like, let's go already. Where are we going? I don't know. But let's go. So, a person is not allowed to walk to the edge of his field so that once Shabbos is over, good, I'm right there. I'm able to take care of my field. Kayotze ba'lo yitayal adam ha-pesach medina. To walk to the exit of the Medina. In other words, you're not doing any malacha. You're not violating a single malacha. But what you're doing is demonstrating a desire of the moment that Shabbos is over, I'm on to my weekday activity. So essentially, it is achana, which is why you're not allowed to do it. So kadesh yikanes lamerchatz miyad hadarbe. So over here, so how can you make an erev with your feet? Isn't that basically, in other words, you're right, you don't have to make a declaration. Good, we jumped over that hurdle. But still, just the simple act of walking to that spot, isn't that a no-no? So the Gemara says, lohi. The Gemara says, no, I disagree. Shamalei v'lo hadarbe. First of all, he knows the halacha, it's a braisa. He knows the halacha, and yet, he's still maintaining that a person can walk out and make an erev tchum with his legs. Because, what's the difference? Hasa mucha milsa, hacha lav mucha milsa hi. Look, if you're walking to the edge of your field at the end of Shabbos, people know, oh, he owns the field over there, obviously he's getting ready for right after Shabbos to take care of his field. Or if he's walking to the edge of the town, people know it must be that he wants to leave town right after Shabbos. So in other words, it's a demonstrative act, clear to everybody that he's preparing for after Shabbos. However, if all he's doing is just taking a spatzir, he's walking on Shabbos, or in this case on Yontif, so itzur b'mir rabbanan hu'am yishmaita mishachte. So look, if he's a Talmud Chacham, so you see Talmud Chachamim walking around, lost in thought. So in other words, right, he's a chacham who's lost in thought right now. And if he's an am haaretz and he doesn't know how to learn, but again, it's very easy to say that he lost a donkey, he's running after his donkey, he's looking around for his donkey. So in other words, there are ways to explain that this behavior is not solely for the purpose of preparing for the next day. It's not self-evident. However, the Bryce is talking about where it's clearly self-evident that he's trying to get out of here. He's moving on after Shabbos. Gufa Amar Rav Yehuda Irav Baragla B'Yom Rishon Ma'arav Baragla B'Yom Sheni Irav Bepas B'Yom Rishon Ma'arav Bepas B'Yom Sheni. Okay, the Gemara quotes the name of Rav Yehuda. This halacha that we saw, this is already the second time we're seeing it, which is that if you're making an Erev with your legs for day one, make it with your legs for day two. If you're making an Erev with bread day one, make it for bread for day two. Erev Bepas Barisha Ma'arav Baragla B'Sheni. If you make an Erev Tchum for day one with bread, day two you could use your legs, meaning you'll walk to your spot. Erev Baragla B'Rishon Ein Ma'arav Bepas B'Sheni. She'ein Ma'arvin B'Tchila Bepas. However, if you are making your, in other words, again, we're talking back to back. It's Yom Tov followed by Shabbos. If for day one you made your Erev Tchum using your legs, meaning you yourself walked out to the Makom Shvisa, and then day two comes, here Rav Yehuda says, don't use bread. Don't use bread for the first time in between Yom Tov and Shabbos. Now, why not? So the Gemara explains, the Gemara does not explain. So let us explain. See, Rashi says, it's an issue of Achana. Rashi writes, Miyam Tov Shabbos Mishum Achana Dekari Lehashta Shem Erev. Because as opposed to where I made it already yesterday, and I'm just renewing it today, that's just renewal. Think about it, anytime you have to renew for something. Renewing is always easy, right? Not much to renewing. You show up, right? Whatever you're renewing for. However, for the first time, that's an act. That's a significant act. And that's considered hachana from Yontif to Shabbos. Now, and b'pray b'sheni. Shein ma'arvin b'tchila b'pas. Ir b'pas b'yom rishon ma'arvin b'pas b'yom sheni amr shmuel uva oso apas. Now, even when you're renewing, meaning on day one, meaning Yom Tov, which was Friday, Thursday afternoon, I made an Erev Tchum with bread. And then we just learned that what you can do is there you can renew and you could use bread. Shmuel says, it's got to be the same bread. It's got to be the same loaf of bread. Meaning, yes, we're renewing, but you have to renew with the same loaf of bread. If I'm using a new loaf of bread, that's a violation of Achana. So Amar Rav Ashi Dekanami Diktani Masnitzin Diktani Ketzin Olo Sem Olich Berishon Umachshiv Alav Enotlo Valo B'Sheni Machshiv Alav Ochlo Valo. And the Gemara, Rav Ashi quotes our Mishnah. You know, our Mishnah basically says that. Our Mishnah says that here's what you do. On Friday, you bring bread over there. You sit down over there. Good. You pick up the bread. You walk home. It's Yom Tov. Remember, you're allowed to do that. And then what do you do Friday afternoon, Shabbos? Take the same loaf of bread. So this halacha that's given to us by Shmuel, truth be told, look at our Mishnah, it's really already stated in the Mishnah. Now, what if you don't agree with Shmuel, which the Gemara makes it sound like there are those who do not agree with Shmuel. What if you don't agree with Shmuel? How do you learn our Mishnah? V'Rabbanan. Rabbanan over here means any Amora who disagrees with Shmuel. So Amalacha, they're going to tell you, sorry, I made up those words. Dil mahasa eitz tova kamash malan. So perhaps over there, eitz tova, meaning the Mishnah is not telling you halachically what you have to do. The Mishnah is just giving you a good way to conserve. Right? We're all about conservation. We're all about not wasting resources. So, is there a way of making two erev tchums with one loaf of bread? The Mishnah says, sure there is. Take the bread out there on day one. Sit there. Bring it back. Take the Erev out there, take the bread out there the second day, and now you get to eat it. Two for the price of one. What could be better than that? Not because there's a halachic requirement to do that. In fact, if you want to bring out another loaf of bread, you may. The Mishnah is just telling you, eat the tofu. The Mishnah is just giving you good sound advice.
But the thing is, the idea is that he's going to eat it before the second day, right? If he's going to eat it.
Yes.
Now, you're not allowed to have like a big meal before Shabbat, because like that's another.
Oh no, he's eating it after Benesh Mashos. So he's eating it mamish on Shabbat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go now. New Mishnah. New Mishnah. New discussion. Quickly, just to recap today's daf up until this point in time. Yom Tov followed by Shabbos, Shabbos followed by Yom Tov, that's Shtei Kedushos. I know it's a machlokas, but the halach is Shtei Kedushos. So therefore, you can make an Erev on day one, you can make another Erev on day two, and they don't have to coincide. They don't have to be in the same spot. And then, a discussion of the issue of Zavachana, The Gemara introduces Achana based on the Pasuk. According to Tosfos, Achana is an Issa Daraisa. According to other Rishonim, it's an Issur Derabanan. Either way, it's an Issur. You can't prepare from one day to the next. And so therefore, basically, we then have to figure out, how can I make an Eruv from Yontif to Shabbos without violating the Issur of Achana? And that was the remainder of the Sugya. Okay. And now with our new Mishnah, we're going to be discussing the following situation. A little bit of background over here. We in the Gullus observe 2 days of Yontif. You probably noticed that over your lives, right? I have a feeling we all figured that out. The reason why we observe 2 days of Yontif is because it's Sfeika D'Yuma. Meaning, look, the way it works, the way Rosh Chodesh is set up, is not that we have a calendar sitting on our wall telling us exactly when Rosh Chodesh is for the next 300 years. Okay, I mean, we've been doing this by the calendar was set approximately the 3rd century. So we've been doing this now for just a short 1,700 years. Okay. But that's a set calendar. That's a fixed calendar. The way the Torah wanted it to happen is that Edom are going to come to Beis Din, and Edom are going to testify that they saw the new moon. Okay, you look at the beginning of Rosh Chodesh. I know it's been cloudy lately, so it's hard to see the new moon. But these past number of days, right, we saw the new moon right after sunset. You look up in the sky. And you're going to see, immediately after, in the western sky, immediately after sunset, a sliver of the new moon. Right? The new moon is following the sun. Everyone understand this? No, it's fine. Okay, one day we'll go over this slowly. Actually, that one day will be in Rosh Hashanah. Masechta Rosh Hashanah, we're going to actually go through the waxing and the waning of the moon. And we're going to have a much better understanding of how it works. But anyway, Edom come and testify over the witnessing of the new moon. And hence, it's going to be Rosh Chodesh. There are two candidates for when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. Either Rosh Chodesh is going to be on the 30th day of the month, or it's going to be on the 31st day of the month. So in other words, Rosh Chodesh will be, the previous Chodesh will be either 29 days or 30 days, right? Now, when there was a Beis HaMikdash and when there was a Beis Din, so when was Rosh Chodesh? When the Edom come. Now, I'm simplifying. It gets a little bit more complicated because sometimes Beis Din is going to push Rosh Chodesh to a certain day based on a number of variables that I'm not going to go over right now because I don't remember most of them. But in other words, it is a more complex discussion. But in other words, there are two real legitimate candidates for what they could possibly be Rosh Chodesh. Now, when Mashiach comes and we're going to have a Beis HaMikdash, so with our new technology, it's very easy to inform everybody when exactly Rosh Chodesh is. You go to the Beis Din website, if I'm allowed to say that. But but in the good old days, however, when communication was not that exciting. So what if you're living out in the Gullus? How did you find out about Rosh Chodesh? Yeah, that's part of the problem. You didn't find out about Rosh Chodesh. Right. They used to have an unbelievable communication system where they used to light fires at the top of mountaintops, and it would travel from one mountain to another, and it was such a wonderful way of getting a message across miles and miles of terrain that today is Rosh Chodesh, or tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh. However, when we get to Rosh Hashanah, we're going to learn what happened to that methodology of communication. In other words, when you live out in the Gullus, you simply don't know. And because you don't know, so now imagine now having a month where, is today Rosh Chodesh, or is tomorrow Rosh Chodesh? And that suffix exists for a good part of the month. So now when Yontif comes, so now we don't know. Is today the 15th of Nisan, or is tomorrow the 15th of Nisan, hence 2 days of Yontif? The obvious question that you can ask me is, now that we have a calendar that's fixed, and now we know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is for the next 300 years, so why do we observe 2 days of Yontif? So the Gemara asks this question, the Gemara in Beitza asks this question, the Gemara's answer is, Minag Avasena B'yadenu. Okay, it's a Minag, an extraordinarily strong Minag. I know that because we're making brachas on the second day, indicating that this is an extraordinarily strong minhag. Okay, so that was just a primer, if you will, of 2 days of Yontif. 2 days of Yontif. But that's not what we're talking about now. We're going to talk now about 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is a more complicated discussion. And basically, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and now I know it's more complicated for one simple reason. Because in Eretz Yisrael they observe how many days of Yantiv? One. In Eretz Yisrael, how many days of Rosh Hashanah do they observe?
Two.
No. So I already, without knowing anything else, I know it's different. Rosh Hashanah is different. Furthermore, even when there was a Beis HaMikdash, how many days of Rosh Hashanah did they observe? Two. Now, that's strange. How many days of Rosh Hashanah are there in the Torah? One. So the obvious question now is, how do I get from one to two? Even when there's a Beis HaMikdash, and even in Eretz Yisrael, how'd you get from one to two? And the answer basically goes as follows. As I just explained, the reason why we establish Rosh Chodesh to be the day of Rosh Chodesh is because Edim come. Now, on a normal Rosh Chodesh, what does it mean that today's Rosh Chodesh? It means that in the Beis HaMikdash they're going to offer an extra carbon. But for you and me, however, it's a regular day. I know women have a minhag now working on Rosh Chodesh. And we get to say halal, but that's not halal's not a mitzvah, halal's a minhag. Okay, so in other words, good. There's very little pomp and circumstance that comes together with Rosh Chodesh. It's just Rosh Chodesh. Okay, with no disrespect. But however, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is not just Rosh Chodesh. That's a yontif. There's shofar. There's extra karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. So now, it's extraordinarily important to know which day is the first day of Tishrei. Does Elul go 29 days, and then the 30th day turns into Rosh Hashanah? Or did Elul go 30 days, and the next day is going to be Rosh Hashanah? And all this is going to be contingent on witnesses coming. Okay? Now that's an exciting Rosh Hashanah. Right? We know when it's coming. For us, it's a slow-pitch softball. So that's exciting. And not only is it exciting, but it also leads to complications. Because witnesses can come, witnesses may not come. Or worse, witnesses will come late. Witnesses will come in the afternoon. Now, witnesses come in the afternoon, late in the afternoon, so really, it's going to be a disaster. Because if they come so late in the afternoon, after the Tamishal Bein Harbaim is already offered, and they say, you know, we saw the new moon today, and we'd like to say that today is Rosh Chodesh, so Beis Din's going to throw up their hands and say, oh no, that's terrible. We just went through the whole day today, assuming today was a regular day. We were waiting for you in the morning. You didn't come in the morning. You only came now. That's terrible. And so, essentially what happened is as follows. They made the following institution, and again, this is during the Zman of the Beis HaMikdash, in Eretz Yisrael, they said, you know what we're going to do? Every 30th day of Elul, we're going to treat as Rosh Hashanah. With or without Edim. Done. And then, if Edim come, great. Today's Rosh Hashanah. If Edim don't come, okay. But it doesn't matter. We're going to treat today as Rosh Hashanah. And then on day two, or not day two, but the next day, then, if the witnesses came the previous day, yesterday was Rosh Hashanah. And if they didn't, today's Rosh Hashanah. So as we enter every Tishrei, basically we're going to have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. On the chance that maybe Edom will come, not in the beginning of the day, but at the end of the day. And where Beis Din's going to look at the Edom and say, well, that's not... That really is upsetting that you're coming so late in the afternoon. After we offered the Tamishal Bein Arbaim, after we had the shear of the week of the weekday, now you come. So in other words, it was therefore instituted that every Tishrei, it's going to be day one, day two, observed as Rosh Hashanah.
They can't come late
on Nisan? You see, Nisan, of course they could come late. But by the 15th of the month, it's all going to be resolved. Right? We'll figure it out by that point in time. Here, on Rosh Hashanah, it gets exciting because the day they're coming is the day that's actually Yontif.
No cushion.
No cushion. So that's, okay, that is your story regarding Rosh Hashanah. That is why Rosh Hashanah is a two-day Yontif. That's why Rosh Hashanah is a two-day Yontif in Eretz Yisrael. Good. So far, so good. Now, I know I'd like to start the Mishnah also. But again, just for us to think about it really helps us in terms of understanding what's about to happen in the Mishnah. How many of those days, meaning there's 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, how many of those days are actually Rosh Hashanah?
One.
Right. Right, it's one. One of those days is actually Rosh Hashanah. We just observe because the Chachamim tell us to 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. But really, one of them is Rosh Hashanah. Okay, we're ready? I think so. Let's start the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rosh Hashanah Shehi Yare Shema Tisaber Ma'arev Adam Shnei Eruvim Va'Omer. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what you do on Rosh Hashanah? Same thing what we described previously regarding Yantav followed then by Shabbos. Meaning Yantav followed by Shabbos, I wanted to make 2 separate Erevin. You could do that. Rabbi Yehuda says, same thing for Rosh Hashanah. Because every Rosh Hashanah is going to be a 2-day affair. So a person wants to, he can make 2 separate Eruvin. And Ma'arish Nei Eruvin Va'omer. Eruve Berishon LaMizrach V'Shen LaMarav. Berishon LaMarav V'Shen LaMizrach. Eruve Berishon V'Shen Kivnei Iri. Eruve B'Shen V'Rishon Kivnei Iri. We go through simply every single permutation of Eruv number day 1 is to the east. Eruv day 2 is to the west. Eruv day 1 is to the west. Eruv day 2 is to the east. You get it. In other words, you can make 2 separate Eruvin for the 2 different days of Rosh Hashanah. V'lo hodu lo chachamim. And the chachamim said, no way. Those 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, that's 1 day of Kedusha. We may, when it comes to Shabbos and Yontov, be able to look at those 2 separate days. In fact, we do look at those as 2 separate days. That Shita's Rabbi Eliezer, Rav Pastin's like Rabbi Eliezer, that's fine. But here, it's Rosh Hashanah day 1, it's Rosh Hashanah day 2, that's not 2, we don't view it as 2 separate days. Even though, as I explained in the introduction to this Mishnah, we all know that only one of those days is actually Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't matter. We view the 2 days as one long day. Furthermore, additional, Rav Yehuda says, here's also what you can do. Let's say you have a basket of produce which is untithed, and now Rosh Hashanah comes. Am I allowed to take off Trumas and Maisos on Rosh Hashanah? No. Am I allowed to take off Trumas and Maisos on Shabbos? No. It is an Isser Midrabanan to do so. We spoke about this previously. It's the Mishnah in Beitza. However, what about the following? Look, of those 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, really only one of those days is Yontav. So how about let's do the following? Let's, on day 1, say, I'd like to separate Trumas and Maisos. If tomorrow's Rosh Hashanah. If today's Rosh Hashanah, what I'm saying is nothing. And then the next day, make the following declaration. Look, if yesterday's Rosh Hashanah, then I'm going to be mafresh Shumas and Maisos today. And if today's Rosh Hashanah, well, I was already mafresh yesterday. Right? So in other words, I'm playing both sides of the suffix. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you could do that. And once again, the Chachamim say, no, you can't.
It's 1 day.
Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus Omer, however, lefnei ateva b'yam tzav Rosh Hashanah. Omer. Now, What if you ask the Dam for the Amun of Rosh Hashanah? Now, usually these things are discussed before Rosh Hashanah. You're not normally going to ask on Rosh Hashanah to get up there for the Amun and Davin, but let's say you do. And here's how your tefillah goes. Now, remember, back in the good old days, davening was a little more ad lib than it is now. Nowadays, we have a sitter, we have a machzer, we know exactly what we're going to say, but it was a little more ad lib, and the Shlich Tzibur says the following. What a moving davening. What an inspirational davening. What do you say? God, please save us today if today is Rosh Hashanah. But if it's not really Rosh Hashanah today, then you know what? Tomorrow. Okay. We'll be moved tomorrow. But if today's Rosh Hashanah, so then yeah, we're excited. And then Ulamachru Amrim Hayomi Memesh. And then what do you do tomorrow? Same Shlich Tzibur, I guess they loved him. He gets up there, he davens for the Amud, and he says, look, if today's Rosh Hashanah, God save us today. And if it was yesterday, so then never mind. Then we're good. Because you already saved us yesterday. V'lohodulo Chachamim, and the Chachamim said, no, don't do that. That's not the way to daven for the Amud on Rosh Hashanah. Now, by the way, there's another offensive thing that he did. I don't know if you noticed that. Meaning, well, the obvious offensive thing that he did is he said in his davening, look, if it's today or if it's tomorrow, people are going to walk out of shul. Is today Rosh Hashanah? I'm so confused. I don't know. The Shlich Tzibur said if it's today or if it's tomorrow. But what was the other offensive thing that he said? He called Rosh Hashanah Rosh Chodesh. Okay, that's. I know that doesn't sound offensive, but as we'll learn tomorrow, that may be a little bit offensive. Now, right. Aman lo hodolo, what are we going to do? We're going to do a little bit of Gemara, and then we're going to stop for today. Yeah, we'll get to the two dots on the top, the next number. So, Aman lo hodolo amravasi, I'm sorry, amarav rav yosi detanya monu chachamim la rav lazer. Barash Hashanah, Shaya Yari Shemitisabre, Ma'ariv Adam Shne Ruv, Omre Ruv, Berisha Mizrach, Vishen Lamarav, Berisha Lamarav, Vishen Lamizrach, A Ruv, Berisha Novishen Kivne Iri, A Ruv, Bishen Verishan Kivne Iri, Rav Yossi, Oser. So Rav Yossi says, don't do that. Amalem Rav Yossi. Now Rav Yossi says, look, witnesses come in the afternoon after we already offered the Tamashal Bein Arabayim. So you know what's going to happen. Day one is observed Rosh Hashanah. Day two is observed Rosh Hashanah. Even though, which one is actually Rosh Hashanah? Day two. So the Ulamach HaKodesh, V'Rabbanan, Hasim Ki'echad Olo Zalzol Abay. So the Chachamim say, look, you're right, but we only do that so that people don't come and are mezalzel on that first day of Rosh Hashanah. Meaning next year, what are people going to say? Oh, don't worry, the witnesses last year, remember? They came late, the first day is not really Rosh Hashanah, and next year, 30th day of Tishrei, everyone's going to go about their business like it's not Rosh Hashanah. That's the only reason why day one is observed Rosh Hashanah. But not because fundamentally...
The girls that would only daven upstairs are going to daven today in the Beis Medrash. Again, the girls who daven upstairs are today going to daven in the Beis Medrash. And Rabbi Shaket's boys will also daven in the Beis Medrash. Everyone else will be in their regular location. Again, girls who normally daven upstairs should come to the Beis Medrash. Rabbi Shaket's shear also to the Beis Medrash. Everyone should go to the Beis Medrash. We're going to wait a few minutes, but people should please start going in, getting their tefillin on, so we can get started.
It's not because it's fundamentally 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. It's just simply because we don't want to be mezalzel on those 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, but obviously Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi feels, no, that the 2 days that we observe of Rosh Hashanah are by institution done that way, and that means that those 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are really treated like one long day. Okay, we'll stop over here. So again, We finish up the topic of Shabbos Yantav back to back. We introduced ourselves today to the issue of Hachana, and you now have to be making from Yantav to Shabbos, which makes making an Eruv from Yantav to Shabbos a little more complicated, but doable. Okay, and then we started the new Mishnah today regarding the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and how to view those 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and the sheet of Rav Yehuda, which keeps getting dismissed again and again in the Mishnah, and why it is that it's getting dismissed. And we'll continue, obviously, tomorrow, Mirza Shah.